It's now time for our weekly rhetoric segment here on Scrawl Radio, and we're going to take it back a little bit with the rhetoric this week to the OG of the modern theater, which would be who I previously referred to as Bill Shakes.
Oh, good old Billy Shakes.
Billy Shakes, yeah. William Shakespeare's Taming of the Shrew, which is my fave Shakespeare. When I was teaching high school, it was the play I taught to my ninth graders every year.
When you were teaching theater.
When I was teaching theater. it's a play that isn't super reliant on monologues. In fact, like, it's much more about the interactions between the characters than a lot of his other, especially a lot of his tragedies. But there's this massive speech that Kate gives at the end of the play that if you are familiar with the plot of Taming the Shrew, I think a lot of people find it very frustrating because they feel like it's such a huge shift in her character. And I think especially when I was teaching a lot of the young female students I had really related to Kate because she was just so like feisty and quick and like, wasn't taking anyone's stuff, you know, kind of lady. And then at the end of the play, she gives this long speech about how women need to be more obedient to their husbands.
Interesting.
And so we can't read the whole thing, but if you are, if you have your Shakespeare in front of you, this is an Act 5, Scene 2 of Taming of the Shrew. And I'll just read a couple of highlights and then we'll talk about them rhetorically. She says, "Thy husband is thy lord, thy life, thy keeper, thy head, thy sovereign, one that cares for thee, and for thy maintenance commits his body to painful labor both by land, sea and land, to watch the night in storms, the day in cold, whilst thou liest warm at home, secure and safe, and craves no other tribute at thy hands but love, fair looks, and true obedience. Too little payment for so great a debt."
Oh my goodness.
Wow. Right? Come, you froward and unable worms. My mind hath been as big as one of yours. My heart is great, my reason haply more, to bandy word for word and frown for frown. But now I see our lances are but straws, our strength as weak, our weakness as past compare, that seeming to be the most, which we indeed least are. Then veil your stomachs, for it is no boot, and place your hands below your husband's foot, in token of which duty, if he please, my hand is ready, may it do him ease.
That just makes me uncomfortable listening to it. Yeah.
So my question is, what happens to Kate that gives her this change of heart?
Well, in the play, it's the taming. Petruchio has previous to this, like, literally denied her food and sleep for a good chunk of the play. She's been forced to marry him against her will, and she has kind of been broken down. And then, like, turns out it works in the play.
I don't know what I would say if I had been starved.
Right, exactly, right? So what do you think then? So she's giving the speech, a little more context. She's giving the speech to the wives of her, her sister, and then like other men in the play, their wives are also there. She's giving the speech to these other wives, all of whom throughout the play have been viewed as being like good wives, and Kate is the crazy one. Mm. And then now all of a sudden she's telling them they aren't good wives. Mm. They aren't behaving, you know, well.
Yeah, they're unable worms.
Yeah, she calls them worms.
That too little payment for so great a debt. So even obedience of those wives isn't enough for all that the husband does.
She says all that the men want from their wives is love, fair looks, and true obedience. So I think it's like it's not a question of like whether or not you disagree with that. It's a question of how Shakespeare chose to present this.
It's interesting that he uses a woman as the character to kind of send this message.
Yeah.
Because it's breaking it down to like even this woman feels this way. And I think that's a powerful strategy to use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely noticed also some ethos pathos logos happening in the section specifically where she tries to sort of say like, I've been in your shoes, like my head, she says, you know, my mind hath been as big as one of yours. Like I used to behave the way you're behaving now. That used to be me. And look how great I am now while mm-hmm. I kneel and put my hand below my husband's foot so I can just show reverence to him by placing my hand under his foot.
Right.
So she really tries to present herself as like an authority on the subject by saying like, I have been where you are and look at me now.
Right. Our weaknesses past compare. Right. It's identifying with those struggles too.
Right.
But I think it depends on, because this is such like, it is a dramatic work. I think it also depends on how the actress would deliver it.
So the film version of this, that's the most famous, Liz Taylor. Mm-hmm. Is the one delivering the speech, and she's incredible in the movie, of course. But if you didn't know, a version of this story you might know is the movie 10 Things I Hate About You, which was based directly on this play. And so, of course, there you have Julia Stiles playing the Kate Cat in the movie role. She never quite gives a speech like this in 10 Things I Hate About You, though. It's she does, but there is that big scene at the end of the movie where she reads the poem. She was assigned to write a sonnet,
mm-hmm.
and then she reads the poem in front of the class, and she cries and gets all emotional and runs out of the room. Problem with that scene, though, is the assignment was to write a sonnet, and the poem she reads is not even kind of a sonnet. Like, I always tell my students, I'm like, she would fail that assignment. Yeah. Like, I appreciate that she wrote a poem that was important to her personally, but that wasn't a sonnet. There was no iambic pentameter. The rhyme scheme was off and bad.
I appreciate that meta, critique. I love that.
Oh.
Spoken like a true English teacher.
Oh, goodness. So, in any case, right? Gosh, I can't shake it.
You can't.
I also noticed that there was a lot of repetition and parallel structure that happened in it. Like, thy husband is thy lord, thy life, thy keeper,
yes,
thy one that cares.
Yes,
like the,
yes, yes.
That repetition, like, to really, like, drive those points home. Like, this, look at all the things your husband does for you. And, like, that structure really is designed to drive that point home.
Yeah, and really identifying the husband as the almighty, the sovereign, the head, and words like the lord and stuff like that.
Right. Well, that's going to end our show today, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
But we want to thank Allie for coming on and encourage everyone to go see Hay Fever and then experience their own little version of Play Fever.
Yes. Thank you guys for having me on the show. It's been a lot of fun.